The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We'll kick things off in the FA Cup fifth round. Middlesbrough, who remember got here by beating Manchester United in action against Spurs. This will go to extra time after a dire 90 minutes. But in the end, Borough won't care. Copeland coming off the bench to give Borough the victory and to see them through to the next round.
I can't even outpossess Middlesbrough in the championship.
Tottenham out. So welcome in Don Hutchison and Jan Arge Fjordtoft, former Borough striker. You're loving this, Jan.
I do. Fantastic atmosphere at Riverside. And, you know, FA Cup, time for heroes and so on. The young lad, he's 19. He came on in the 97th, scores in the 107th. Great goal as well. He just looked up and he wanted to put the ball there. And 1-0, and as we were saying, Chris Wilder, what a great signing by Borough. He's like, he's made for Borough, Chris Wilder. Exactly the type of manager they should have up there. And now knocking out Manchester United and Tottenham, and still with a chance to go up in the Premier League. This could be a great couple of months for Borough.
How big a deal is this from Spurs?
Oh, a big, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another horrendous result. I left after 90 minutes to drive into work here. Best decision I made all day because I couldn't watch any more of that game.
Right.
Can't watch them. I sit here now thinking, how the hell did Man City lose to them when they are so much superior? One of those freak results where Harry Kane just has another superb, basically carries the team. But their pants, that lot, this Spurs lot, might be getting in the top four in the Premier League. Let that sink in, how bad the rest are under the big boys. I mean, it's not a weak team on paper. He hasn't gone up there. He's gone up there with Kulusevski, who's looked a little bit OK recently, and Kane and Son, and Sessegnon and Doherty have been playing it. You know, the World Cup winners in goal. I mean, honestly, this bunch, and this manager as well.
Right.
I mean, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
Today?
He lost his voice, so he couldn't say too much, apparently, in the post-match.
You mean Daniel Levy came down and put the biggest bloody gag over his mouth and said, shut up and get on with it. What a team. What a team, honestly. You're going to have to... I mean, 500 million wouldn't get this team challenging Man City. Telling you now.
Don, to quote Craig, they were pants.
They were as well. They were absolutely pants. Kulusevski was the best player on the pitch. I thought Sessegnon played well as well. But Craig's saying there about this team's got a chance at top four, and the table would suggest they have. But when you watch them, Dan, they have got no chance of stringing results together. I mean, they play Everton next. I would imagine it'll be the Tottenham side that'll probably beat Everton. Man U after that, they'll probably lose. They're just an absolute riddle at the moment. You watch them and you think, they don't control the midfield. Højbjerg played a midfield with Harry Winks. They got outpossessed and outclassed by Johnny Howson, who's 33. What a brilliant game. They were just... I mean, the highlights you showed there were sort of quite favourable towards Tottenham, but Middlesbrough in the game, watching the whole game in the extra time, knocked the ball around like you wouldn't believe. They were so, so comfortable.
Yeah, and we've talked about Spurs a lot, haven't we? Antonio Conte coming out after the Burnley result in particular and saying, I don't know what to do. Look, it's been different managers, same players. We can see where the problem is. And then he came out, obviously, ahead of this game saying, oh, no, everything is planned that I say in press conferences. I say it for a reason to try and get a reaction. That's seven defeats now in the last 12 games.
I must say, to go over that, down that road, I once interviewed Conte and he was so depressed. I mean, there was something wrong with my question, but he was so depressed, the little man, that he was kind of shrinking. And I was thinking, and he said to me, I've done so many mistakes. I can't believe I did so many mistakes. I was thinking, how do I follow up this? What's my next question? So my question was, what's the worst mistake you did in towards this game? And he disappeared. I mean, he is the saddest man alive. But I don't agree with you that he's a bad that he is a bad manager. I think Conte is a good manager, but it's just the way he infects his players in that. In this saddest man alive kind of philosophy, I mean, that is not very sustainable, to put it in a small way.
Well, he's a bad manager at the moment, Jan, because he can't get any consistency. And I mean,
fourth in the league.
Yeah, they are absolutely terrible. Let me tell you something. I think there is some competition we don't know about between Ralph Rangnick and Antonio Conte to see who can have the worst new manager bounce. You know this new manager bounce they talk about going into a club, and everybody goes, oh, brilliant. I mean, where's at least the passion and the energy? And, you know, if you go to Middlesbrough, championship side, decent side, very good manager, well organised, but if you go there, you don't go there and sit back. I'm better than you. Mm. I got better players. I got better midfielders, better defenders, better strikers. I go there and I press you and I smother you and I don't even allow you out your half. That's how good we are compared to you. You stamp on them and you just put your authority on them and you stifle them. I mean, you don't sit back as if you're playing against the Liverpools and the Cities and, as Don said, allow them to play through you and look like a good little side. So where's the manager? And it's a two-way street here. Yep. The players and the manager. I know Tottenham don't have the best squad. But the whole point was Antonio Conte gets the best out of players.
Yep.
Allegedly. We're not seeing it.
Don, we talk about the players. You can cite the fact, obviously, they've had different managers after Pochettino and still struggled. Yet every one of the starting 11 today walks in to the Middlesbrough team. Every one of the starting 11 works into the Burnley team. So these players should be good enough to beat these sort of sides, but they're not.
They're not because they're fragile and the culture's bad, Dan, because they're used to losing over the years. This is a losing team. Tottenham have been a losing club for a long time. So to get that mentality shift, I mean, Klopp calls his Liverpool players mentality monsters. That's what they are. They're used to winning now. It's a habit. When you watch Tottenham now, that, as I said before, they're a riddle because you're not quite sure what you're going to get. They're going to put in a performance like Craig's against Man City and you think, right, come on, surely you must kick on now. Surely you can go back-to-back win. Surely you can have a good run in the FA Cup. Surely, come on, you're a good team. You've got a top-class manager. But the whole culture is about losing. And that's going to take an awful lot of time to try and change that culture, to try and get anywhere near the big boys. And it's going to be a fair few more years before they win trophies. Then we're going to be talking about Harry Kane in the summer because he wants trophies. He said it. He said he wants to win the big prizes. So that's another noose around their neck come the summer when Harry Kane probably gets linked with 1,000 clubs. So I just don't see where they're going, Dan, to be honest.
But it's interesting that that is a good point with they are fragile. And you must say, I mean, I follow Tottenham since I was a kid and the culture is somehow always the same. They're a fragile team. And now Levy is trying. First, he got Mourinho on to try to get them tougher. Not happen. Now it's Conte is coming in. Not happening. I mean, it's what do they do? Because this, when you saw the game today, I mean, you were thinking, who is fourth in the league? Is it Borough or Tottenham? I mean, there was no chance that and some aliens will come down and say, wow, look at that Premiership team with the white shirts. Ah, oh, they're the red teams. Oh, I didn't know that. I mean, that was not possible to see. Borough would have been a better team. They had a better plan. They were tougher. They were more passion. And they won the game.
It's going to leave, isn't
he? Yes.
They're going to leave. Yeah, and to be honest with you, I think it's probably best all round that he does eventually in the summer, probably. Takes a bit of payoff, wipes his tears away, and sods off somewhere else and has a whinge. Because it's not, this continuation is not going to do anybody any good. And you go into the summer, if they get a little bounce, possibly, and he stays, and that's a big if at the moment. They sign a few players, but they won't sign enough. We know how that club operates. They won't sign enough good ones. And we go through this whole spiral again next year until he has to, you know, come to a deal with Tottenham 6 months into the season. So, Dan, it can't continue. They might as well get this to the summer and say, listen, we know you're a very successful manager, but we're not for you, and you're not for us. They need somebody in there, as Don said, They need somebody in there that is not necessarily younger, but is prepared for a longer battle, a longer fight, and there's got to be a long game involved. There's no playing the short game at Tottenham. There's not enough quality there to play the short game. And we know Conte hasn't got hasn't got a long game in him.
Elsewhere, no such problems for Manchester City. Company beating Peterborough by 2-0. Both goals coming in the second half. Riyad Mahrez and Jack Grealish getting these strikes that see City through to the next round.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Much needed victory for Leicester, but for Burnley, though, they are in serious trouble, aren't they? They sit 18th, 1 point adrift of Everton, who are very close to relegation zone, 2 points behind Leeds United, who, of course, brought in Jesse Marsh yesterday. That was confirmed, the American coach taking over. Jan, this is a bit of a head-scratcher, isn't it?
Well, Jesse Marsh, he had trouble in Leipzig. There were some personal issues as well that we don't know about. But we just saw that coming after Nagelsmann, that job was too big for him. Now he's coming after Bielsa, who is very, very popular in Leeds, of course. But, I mean, the worst organizer of defense since, well, time started to count in life. Because, I mean, have they played lately? And, I mean, we can speak about the hipster Bielsa and great manager or so, but you can't keep on conceding so much goals. So Jesse March is bright enough to understand that his main thing now has to stop them conceding goals. And Jesse March got that kind of thing to get the team going, unite together and so on and so on. So there he will be good, but he has to stop conceding goals.
If I understand the allure of going in and taking over a Premier League side and guiding them to safety, I wouldn't touch this if I was...
Apparently it's continuity and that's how they do it in Germany. I've heard, and I didn't know Jesse Marsh was German, but I know he's been there for a short spell. I think what you know, going in working with younger players, want to play a higher tempo type of game, similar to Bielsa. But what's the continuity? I mean, apart from the fact it's a shambles. Now, good luck to him. He's going to need it. But one of the big problems is he's still missing two of their best players, Patrick Bamford, and more importantly, Calvin Phillips, out the engine room. You've got injuries as well. They've had to throw in youngsters this season. I mean, I think they can stay up because there are so many poor teams down there.
Yeah.
So in some sense, I think for him, it's worth the risk if he can pull it off.
Right.
Because he maybe looked at the rest, Dan, and went, you know, I've just seen Burnley today.
I know, but have a look at Norwich. You don't pull it off, you go down with Leeds. You know, you didn't have the impacted Leipzig that you had. You take Leeds down. It's tough.
Yeah, but I get it. But he ain't getting another job in the Premier League anywhere.
Right.
So this is an offer. Huh?
No, I'm just saying that he could have maybe got him in the summer. I think that was the plan, that Jesse Marsh should take over Leeds in the summer. So that is a gamble for him now. Because if another manager will come in and save them and so on and so on. And I agree with you on that thing. The thing is to come in now with a manager who doesn't know the Premier League 100%. He doesn't know the team 100%. He doesn't have the preseason. This is a tough one for him because he's going straight into it.
And it's unique, isn't it, Don? You've been involved in these relegation scraps.
Absolutely. He's got to hit the ground running. To be fair, I listened to his interview today, Dan, and it was quite impressive. He was talking about Bielsa's way and how much he's not going to try and change it too much. He likes them when they go forward, but he's going to try and address things at the back. He's going to have a little bit more structure. So he's very complimentary of Bielsa's methods and the Leeds players. But like Craig said, you add Liam Cooper to that as well, who's been magnificent for them. And yet the spine of the side's been ripped out of this Leeds team. This is tough for Jesse Marsh. This is a real tough one. I totally agree with Craig. I don't think anyone else in the Premier League would have touched him. But if you're Jesse Marsh, it's worth taking the job because you back yourself. You always back your own ability. You look at the size of the club that Leeds are, and you'll think, well, maybe Brentford are in free fall. There's probably two clubs that are probably nailed on to go down, and that's Watford and Norwich. So there's sort of one spot you're fighting for with about four or five teams. So he'll fancy his chances. I know Bielsa's... I know it was about time Bielsa sort of went. I tried to back him as much as possible, but it was sort of inevitable that he was going to go down when you're losing four, five and sixes every week, and he was stubborn. He was never going to change his ways. I think the change had to happen.
He's going to find pressure like he's never found before. You manage the Major League Soccer here, they don't have relegation. You can be as bad as you want. You can suck every week, it makes no difference. He went to Salzburg in Austria, they're not going to get relegated. He went to Leipzig, there's a pressure in getting... There is a pressure, of course. But it's a different pressure, as Don said. I think we've all been there, Jan, Don and myself, at various points in their careers. Fighting for your life in the Premier League is way tougher than being at the top. And I've said this to you before. Because you look around that dressing room and you think, right, who's with me and who's not? Who wants to get out of the treatment room? Who doesn't? Obviously, some can. But you look at some players and you think, yeah, yeah, right enough. Freaking, you could play. You know what I mean? All that sort of stuff. And it can be a horrible atmosphere. Then you get whipped and you look at this schedule. God, Wednesday, Man City away. Oh, no. You know, and it's sleepless nights because, right. You know, you go to that championship and, you know, you look at Leicester Borough, you look at Nottingham Forest, you look at Leeds. 16 years it was out of the top flight. That's a generation. So a lot of pressure, and he's going to have to hit the ground running like nobody's business.
Because Bielsa, Craig, was loved so much as well, he's under extra pressure to do well. Yeah. If he gets a couple of bad results, they'll be saying, you shouldn't have sacked Bielsa. We were better off with him.
I say he was fair.
I think I read today, it wasn't just about the football. It wasn't just about the results, and it wasn't just about the football per se, but Bielsa just... I mean, literally, they could have got beat 6-0 for the next four games with him in charge. And none of the fans are getting on his back. He won the hearts of the Leeds public, right? And nothing else really mattered to them. Yeah, they wanted results. So he's following in somebody who was, you know, whether you agree and think a Bielsa fan or not, was beloved by Leeds fans. They played some great stuff, but there were too much of a shambles in the end. So good luck to Jesse Marsh. But the pressure down the bottom, Daniel, is every day, every night, and it does not go away unless you're getting clearly results.
And the problem is, of course, as pundits like Don, he will always say Big Sam, and then he will forget that Big Sam got relegated last season. But this guy is an American. Wow. So when he loses one game, then we go
15
again.
Shows ago, yeah,
what a memory!
15
like
shows
ago.
I heard about this. They were talking about it in the green room as well.
It's incredible.
Of course, involved in the relegation fight as well is Everton. A huge defeat against Manchester City at the weekend. We're hearing that Mike Riley, the head of the referees in England, has phoned Frank Lampard and Everton to apologise for this decision. I'm sure you accepted it, Don.
I don't know how Frank took the phone call, to be honest, because you must be so frustrated. I mean, everyone knows without going over old ground, it's 100% of a penalty. Rodri knew because he even shanked his clearance. The Gladys Street end knew, the players knew, the referee couldn't really have an opinion because he couldn't really see it, but the VAR guys let him down. He should have requested to go to the monitor, and then you get the phone call and you get apologised. I don't know how you take it down because I'm emotional. I'd probably go, hello? Hello? Yeah, goodbye. That'd be my response. I couldn't handle it.
But can you imagine? Can you imagine? Don would have done it this way. He would have crashed the telephone as well, by the way. But can you imagine? Can you imagine that telephone call when he calls up and says, "Listen, Frank, I'm sorry. Every football fans in the whole world, every football fans in the whole world, everybody involved in football saw that I was in handball, except the 3-4 that I'm hired, that is top quality referees. They didn't see it. So I'm so sorry, Frank. All right. Speak to you soon." Ah, it's terrible. That telephone call, I mean, unbelievable.
You're not answering that phone.
It's stuff like this. It's stuff like this that makes Wolf getting out of bed in the morning, isn't it? Stuff like this that makes you just want to wait. I wake up tomorrow.
He wouldn't have called Craig. There's no chance he would have called Craig.
But listen,
he would send him a fax.
Yeah. Come here, Frank. Listen, it makes you feel any better, Frank. I thought it was a penalty too. Mike Riley. This is spectacular. And I don't for 1 minute blame Paul Tierney, the referee. If you look, and I watched the show last night when you guys were talking about it, it was when you run the highlight in, if you looked at the angle he was at, and that's the position he has to take, he was coming to the corner of the box, and there's a couple of players, plus the arm is the right arm. So if you look at Tierney now, where he's going, and then you look, as an Everton player runs across him, I think it might have been Anthony Gordon, might be wrong. So I don't blame him at all. From where he is, he can't see that.
But I blame Craig. Craig, yeah. A point is, I see where you come from, but I blame him in the way that he got to be clearer in his head enough to understand that this decision I'm going to do now can get Everton down. It can make Manchester City winner of the Premier League. So maybe I can run for 20 metres to a monitor.
Yeah, but that's not his job, Jan. He's got his mates who are looking at the video.
It's not his job.
You're
just blowing up the whole system.
No.
Let me finish. The referees have the possibility to run and have a look there. Somehow, the English referees, they feel it's too long because some of them are not fit anyway, so they can't run that way. But still, they can't run to the monitor and have a look.
No. But Jan, I don't even think he knew when it happened at Lifetime. I don't think he could see from his angle exactly where it hit, because he was completely the wrong side. He was in the right position by where he's taught to referee. You see him going over there. So he can't. The referees in England are advised whether to go to the monitor or not. That's what he's asking now. So he has been hung out to dry by the VAR, who was, I believe, Chris Kavanagh. Right. Is that true what we've heard today, Dan? That Chris Kavanagh allegedly might have thought it was a penalty? I mean, I don't know what they have.
Dan, I worked on Monday with Chris Foy, ex-referee. And what I put to Chris Foy is, I said, what's it like in that scenario when you're in the heat of battle and you can't see, but you see 22 players, or certainly 11 Everton players, screaming for a penalty. You see the Gladys Street end. He said, you have a sixth sense that you've sort of missed something, that something big has just happened that you've missed. So then I put it to Chris, who's very, very fair, to be fair. And I said to him, I said, just for clarification, can the referee, Paul Tierney, request to Chris Kavanagh, "I've missed that. I feel as though I need to go to the monitor"? He said, absolutely. He said, it doesn't happen.
Of course.
He said, it doesn't happen. He went, but you can request, if you feel as though something's happened and you've missed something, you can request to go and see the monitor because you have a sixth sense of what's happened. That's why I think Paul Tierney didn't read the room when
It's not harsh.
You're a professional.
Of course it is. You're relying on people who are looking at TVs.
There's an amazing thing called another referee at Stockley Park who can say, "Oh, by the way, Paul Tierney, this is a definite penalty kick. I have a little wander over at the monitor, but I wouldn't even bother. Give the penalty."
I agree. But the VAR should strengthen the authority for the referees. Let's go back to where VAR started. And if he says, and I agree, you have to read the room. You have to understand, this is a big decision. So can I trust that other referee sitting in somewhere in there, probably out for a pizza when this happened? No, I'm not 100% sure. So I will have a look, because he's the leader. You can blame the guys in the VAR room, but the referee of this game was the guy with a black shirt on the pitch, and he has to make the decision.
Wow.
So going back to our, I don't know how to frame this, former colleague at the moment, Peter Walton.
All right, okay.
He's gone on the missing list. I don't know what's happened. Must have upset.
Just Peter Walton.
Must have upset the boss. Maybe he was asking for too much money. I don't know. That's down to right. Peter. Do you remember when he was on here, Pete? And bless him, he's a great guy. But he said the problem with VAR is I don't think referees are very good at looking at monitors, and I don't think they're very good at looking at replays. And I sat going, are you right in the head? If you can't look at a but it turns out,
yeah, that he's right.
They can't look at a replay and make a common sense decision. It's bonkers, isn't it?
It is bonkers.
On first replay, when I was watching the game at the weekend, as soon as I saw the first replay, I went, yeah, not a chance, that's not a penalty.
Yeah. I think everybody did.
And he sat
everybody
there.
Everybody did, apart from
the VAR. Sat there in the VAR. Oh my God.
And the boys are back for extra time. Be sure to check that out. As always, it's available over on our YouTube channel. I think we're giving Don a spelling test today.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
He's having a phenomenal season, isn't he? Kylian Mbappe, very much the man at PSG. But let's not forget, his contract runs out in the summer. Heavily linked to a move to Real Madrid once he's a free agent. However, La Parisienne reporting today that PSG have offered 50 million euros a year and a loyalty signing on bonus of 100 million euros net. Jules, will this sway him?
They're hoping so, that's for sure. He hasn't accepted or rejected the offer yet. We have tried to confirm that the offer was really on the table, and at the moment it's quite quiet, both on the PSG side and on the Mbappe family side. But we knew there was another offer coming. We knew that PSG were feeling that this was the right time to have one last push, almost, because, as you said, Dan, he's playing maybe the best football of his life. He certainly feels like he's the key guy in this team, which he is, more than Messi or Neymar. His relationship with the fans, his best that he's ever been, and also there's the few other things, the record that he can beat Cavani, but he has to stay another season to be the top goal scorer in the club history, the fact that they beat Real Madrid in the way they did in the first leg, and of course a lot depends on the second leg, but that could have an impact as well. If they were to knock out Real Madrid, that could potentially have an impact on his decision, and also who could be the manager next season if Poch was to leave and if Zidane was to arrive. I think PSG also feel that could be a good thing for them in convincing him to stay. So this is another piece in that incredible jigsaw, really, that we've been talking so much in the last year or so. But now PSG hoping that with this offer now on the table, huge offer, one of the highest paid players in the world, of course, they may be able to sway him to stay. Again, this is a short contract, 1 year, 2 year maximum, but they're hoping that could be enough.
Jules, obviously we don't know the details of the Real Madrid offer, but I imagine this would eclipse that.
Yeah, massively. I was told that the Real Madrid offer, which is a big offer already, is basically half. I think PSG, the idea was to double it up. So Real Madrid offer 25 million a year. Okay, we do 50. Real Madrid offer you 50 million signing on fee. We give you 100. Pretty much, you call it differently, but it's what it is. And I think, again, I don't think the money is an issue here, because he will earn a lot of money. He's already had. He will for the next 15 years. This is not. I don't think it's the key thing here. However, it's so much money, even on a short-term deal, that he would be crazy not to consider it even more. So PSG certainly think that the money, on top of everything else, or with going along with everything else, could also be a decider.
What would you do?
Well, we're all allowed to take the money, but he's going to get well paid. He's already, I would imagine, a very rich young man.
Yep.
That's not going to decrease. His salary's only going to go up. He's got a lot of years ahead of him. What I would do, well, I don't know what I would do, to be honest, but I think what, look, if it's about the money for him and want to stay in France, fine. But if it's not, then I've always said this, Barcelona, not particularly at the moment, these clubs, but Real Madrid and Barcelona are the pinnacle, I think, of the football pyramid. Yeah, there are other big clubs, Bayern Munich, yep, Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City, Juventus, all, you know, the list goes on. However, it's the pinnacle to go and play and have success at these clubs. Legends have gone before, sure, and done it. And I personally would like to see him make that move, but I can't tell you what he's going to do if somebody's chucking ridiculous amounts of dough at him.
Yeah, and what would you do?
What would I do? I would do exactly what I think Mbappé will do. He will stay on a short-term contract and then he can still go to Real Madrid. But it's quite interesting we discussed this transfer because on one hand, we have, together with Haaland, then, the most wanted player at the universe, and he is phenomenal. He had a period in this season that his body language was a bit bad, but now he's back to his definitely best. But you have on one side a player that can go on a free this summer. On the other hand, you have the Qataris, who will have the World Cup coming up in November, December, which is unbelievably important for them. So from the time when Craig and I played, we had transfer where money matters, just small amount of money, where club matters. But now it's nation matters. This is so big. And yes, Jules talking about the money, enormous money involved. But it's so much worth for them that Mbappé would play for Qatari PSG. And also, well, that going into a World Cup and being the big, big star there. So this is... it's enormous. Clubs are gone now. It's all about countries dealing deals for these boys.
I would imagine Florentino Perez is taking this recent news particularly well. I mean, I'm sure he's not throwing plates around at home or anything,
yeah,
banging his head on the wall, because he's gone out on a limb basically and saying, "I will deliver you."
Yeah.
You know, not just one, but possibly two of the best players, Erling Haaland potentially, but certainly Kylian Mbappe. And if these figures are correct, and I'm not disputing whether they are or not, but they're astronomical, that's going to throw a huge spanner in the works. So, I don't know what the right thing is to do from a playing perspective here. We don't know what the rest of the season holds for PSG in terms of, particularly, we know domestically, in terms of Ligue 1, but we don't know what the Champions League is going to hold. At the moment, it's looking a lot better than it did,
yep,
a couple of months ago. But yeah, things change. But it just comes down to the player. But as Jan said, you know, a couple of years' time, he's not exactly an old man. He can still make moves. Maybe they can still get a transfer for him.
Yeah.
So there's all that plays into it. But I tell you what, there's going to be one angry man in Madrid.
Jules, how much does having success this season at PSG affect his decision? What I mean by that is, what if they win the Champions League? Will he then go out on a high? Will that make any difference?
Oh yeah, I think winning the Champions League, this is it. Then he goes. He would never be able to beat it. Yeah, of course you can win it again, but this is it. He came there in 2017 to do that, to deliver the Champions League, to what he called his city now, which is strange. Even that has changed a little bit in the last few weeks. He seems to put forward much more than he used to the fact that he is a Paris kid, that this is his city, that's his club, his stadium, that kind of thing. But yeah, you win the Champions League, he's out. You go find the Champions League, but you just miss out like they did in the last two seasons. I think that could have an impact on him saying, okay, we were that close, we will have Messi for a second year and the last year, Neymar, plus potentially some new signings, let's have one more go at it, and one more season, and then I will leave. That extra season, he will obviously beat the Cavani record. So I think that could count. If they get knocked out next week on Wednesday at the Bernabeu by Real Madrid, I think on the other hand, this is like, okay, this, we're too far now, even with Messi, with Neymar, with Poch, etc. And that could be the other play on the other side of him saying, you know what, I want to be at the Bernabeu next season and I'm going to leave.
But let's be honest, boys. There is no chance in the world that PSG will let him go for a free. They will find some way. This will not come that far.
Well, of course they can, Jan, surely. Yes, his contract ends. What are they going to do, lock him in a cupboard?
I know there's a lot of things that could happen, but it will never happen. There will some way find a way to stick him there. I think with the amount of money involved here, I think we are down to also a gut feeling that in a couple of years, as Craig's saying, this is still a young, very young man. I mean, you can play with Messi, maybe, but together with Ronaldo at his best, one of the best players in the world. You play with Neymar, like you do, say, in the city and all that. I think that he will stay. I'm not saying 100%, but I'm definitely sure that he will stay for at least a couple of years.
From one striker to another, Jan, what's going on with Lewandowski?
Lewandowski is another thing because, first of all, he's older. So, and we have to put that into it because if someone buy Lewandowski, they won't get a transfer fee at the end of that contract. But the thing is with Robert Lewandowski is when you look at these numbers, I mean, he's beating every record. He could beat his own record of 41, which was an unbeatable record for Gerd Müller set like 50 years ago. But still Bayern Munich don't get down to the table and say to him, you can stay here for another couple of 3 years. And for the last half year, he has always have to read in the German media that Bayern want to replace him with Erling Haaland. And I mean, if you're the best striker since Marco van Basten, the best number nine there is at the moment, and you hear that, you don't like that. And this weekend, just to do the pinnacle of everything that Bayern Munich do wrong in terms of transfers and free transfer, Salihamidzic said, yes, we're going to sit down with him because we want him to stay. After the game, there was an interview with Lewandowski. He said, wow, that is the first time I hear that. So this is going out as well. So this is not only one thing they're discussing behind closed doors.
33.
Yeah, what?
Well, he's 33 now. How hard do you push if you're buying to keep him?
Well, you have to ask the question. If they don't get Erling Haaland, who's the replacement?
Hmm.
And the answer is, there is none. Not with those stats. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's no effectively, they're not going to have to, obviously not paying a transfer, he's their player. It's just about salary. But if you replace him, unless you get a free, you're going out, it's costing you the same. You're guaranteeing goals here.
Yeah.
You're guaranteeing, he looks as fit as ever. He doesn't look like he's slouching or losing a little bit of pace or sharpness. It'll come, but it hasn't happened to him yet. I don't know. I mean, I think you asked a question. All right, how far do you push the boat out? But if he does leave, how do we replace him?
Yeah.
Who do we replace him with? Because you're replacing 40-plus goals a year. And that's not easy.
And that's
not easy.
That's the big problem for Bayern. You're trying to replace irreplaceable if you can't bring in Haaland, aren't you, Jan?
Yeah, and they won't get Haaland. So there is no replacement for him. And if you put the numbers on the table, they say this is the best paid player in the Bundesliga. He got 25 million euro. And we heard the numbers of Mbappé. So there is different numbers here. But Bayern recently have got a fashion of losing all players on free. So they will probably lose Lewandowski 1 year on a free. If not, they have to sell him now. And that won't happen. I think that the story will be at the end that he will resign with Bayern. He knows what he got. He knows what he has there. That he has people in and around him who will give him the best service in the world, in Thomas Müller, in Coleman, in Gnabry and Sané. So I think he will end up staying there. But at the moment, it looks like a bit circus at Bayern, where if they can't get their best player to even understand that they talked to him, because apparently he hasn't heard that.
Meanwhile, Jules, we've talked a lot about Chelsea, haven't we, and Roman Abramovich over the last week. Developing story in the UK suggesting that for the first time in his ownership of the club, he's willing to listen to offers.
Yeah, that's right. It seems like he's opening the door slightly and that people are ready to test the market, to test him. And remember, we said after that statement on Saturday on the show that, OK, there was a lot of reason why he could step away a little bit from the club to diffuse the pressure, but maybe also because he was thinking about maybe selling since he bought the club in 03. This is really the first time where he seemed ready to maybe listen to offers. And this is a club that he's worth a lot, of course. It won't go for less than 1.5 billion easily. And I think there's a few people, the Telegraph is reporting in England that three offers could come this week at some point to test him a bit, see what he does, see how he reacts, see how the people around him, Tenenbaum, Burke, Granovskaya, all those people, how they also react and see what happens. I think right now is the right time to test him, but I don't think this is the right time for him. It would take a long time to sell a club like Chelsea Football Club, of course. So this could be a long saga. But certainly, I think, yeah, opening the door right now is probably something that he'd been thinking of for a while now.
No, I don't think that is. I don't think he felt that for a while. I think he's scared. He's very scared because he wants to protect his money. And if Boris Johnson is doing what he wants to do, he can freeze his money in England. And I know people say his money is not there. And there is new rules now. After Russia invaded Ukraine, there's new rules. So I think he's scared. And I think that's what we're seeing now is a reaction of that.
For a lot more on what's been going on this week and a very busy week of football on and off the pitch, check out the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast. While you're there, be sure to check out the Gavin Jules Meets podcast as well. The latest guest, Sami Khedira. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's it. We are done for today's show. We're not quite done. Extra time is next. Don and Jan are back to answer your tweets. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig with me in the studio. Jan is here and Don. Don, everybody wants to know if you had a response to your tweet in case you missed it today. This is what Don wrote. Hi, Luton Town.
I saw it.
I'm at Kenilworth Road tomorrow, night working for ESPN FC. Please, please, can I get a car park space? I'm sure for an ex-player, you can hook me up.
What's wrong with that, Dan?
I'm doing the game for ESPN somebody personally.
Tomorrow. Well, I've not really got any I didn't think I had any contacts at the football club, so I thought I'd stick it on social media. I mean, Luton's response was absolutely fantastic. I don't know if you've seen that. They just put, no. So then a director at the football club, a guy called Gary Sweet, then got involved, texted me and said, of course you can have a car park space for tomorrow. Otherwise, I was parking miles away.
We're just part miles away with the public.
Don, I'm sure you're jesting, Don, because you did see that wasn't actually Luton that said no.
That was a random account.
Was it not? I thought it was. It was.
No, it was some random account. Why didn't why didn't you just drive up there tomorrow, randomly, and up to the car park, roll the window down and go, car parking space, look at Don Hutchinson.
Yeah.
Show best personality.
Legend.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing there for us?
I got the light, Don. Pardon?
Don, we're not doing that game. What are you doing there for? Just going along?
No, we're doing Liverpool Norwich.
Yeah. Well, I'll be at Luton then. I'll be at Luton Chelsea on my own.
Reporting for us from Kenilworth Road for the Liverpool Norwich game.
And where are you, Jan? You're somewhere different, aren't you, today? It looks.
Yes, I'm not in a hotel in Düsseldorf. I'm at home with my parents. As you can see here, look at my old photos here. Look at there. My sister, my brother, and myself.
Yeah. Wow.
You're in that home, you're trying to steal off your parents.
Yes. right then.
Listen, what was that worse?
What
day was today a spelling day, or was that yesterday?
We're going to get to the spelling later on.
Sorry.
We'll get to Don's spelling later on.
Oh, please. No, I'd rather do percentages.
People will tell me about this beforehand.
Boys, I tried to explain after I was on a show with you, Don, the other night, and I had to share some of this percentage thing with you, and everybody, it was between my wife and my dog, and my dog was asleep. So I said to my, wife, you know Don Hutchins, remember we played at Sheffield United? Yeah. He's so struggling with his percentages. So I was sitting there for 5 minutes to try to explain to her how bad you were, but she didn't get it 100%.
Wow. She got it like what a treat.
You go to bed and you're thinking about me.
Yeah. She said there is an 80-30 chance that I will go for Don instead of you, Jan, she said.
Hey, Jan, listen, if your parents want a really good night's sleep tonight, don't tell them what you said about Roman Abramovich today.
Oh, yeah.
They are sleeping.
For Craig, right, okay. A month ago, you were feeling underwhelmed about the Aubameyang signing. After scoring 5 goals, how do you feel now? Or is it a wait-and-see...
Everybody was underwhelmed about it.
A wait-and-see situation with him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good start.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, what have they won at the moment? They've won something. I mean, they've played some good stuff. He's scored. He's
12 goals in 3 games. They're looking good.
No, they're looking better.
Yeah.
From a low bar.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, there you are. Underwhelmed, I think, is still the overall feeling just in general. Jan. Why are Bayern losing so many players so free? Alaba, Sula, and now potentially Gnabry and Lewandowski in 2023. Also, they got a very small fee for Thiago because there was 1 year left on his contract.
Well, there is something called when you lose 2 big players, world-class players, then you have to replace it with a world-class players. So if you miss Karl-Heinz Rummenigge and Uli Hoeneß as your leaders, you have to bring 2 other world-class leaders in. And I think that Oliver Kahn, he was a great goalkeeper. Of course, I scored against him, but I don't have to talk about that. But and then you bring in Salihamidzic. They still have to prove themselves as leaders, because it can't be like this. You just bring in some ex-Bayern players and think that they will do the stuff. This is on their record at the moment. If they lose players for free for fun, this is going to be a big problem for Bayern, because it's hard to see where Bayern should get their players. We talked about it, boys. If they lose Lewandowski, who should they get in? They won't get the best players because they don't have the money. So then at least they have to sell players to get some money.
Speaking of players leaving on a free, would Christensen's move, Don, be a bigger loss for Chelsea or a bigger get for Barcelona?
I think a bigger get for Barca. I think he'll fit their style. Gerard Piqué can't play forever. And I think with Sarr coming through, I think they've got 1 or 2 good players. Rudiger will probably stay on. Thiago Silva for another year. Chalabar's in decent form. I think Chelsea will find a way. I think they've got enough anyway, but they'll just find another one.
Jan, who is the most talented Bundesliga young player among these options? Florian Wirtz, Jude Bellingham, or Musiala?
I would put, personally, this is my personally, it's Jude Bellingham at number one. I think that Jude Bellingham And Florian Wirtz, great, great player, and he can do anything with the ball. Musiala need a nexus, another step to get to those two, I think. But Jude Bellingham, he can play as a number six, he can play as a number eight, and he will develop into a number 10. He's a leader, and he can go all the way, just depending how frustrated he will be. Did you see him against Rangers? Did you see the quotes when he took on a 27-year-old in his team using all the F words in the English alphabet? So it's just a matter of how frustrated he will be without good players around him.
To the boys, are you the most famous person from your hometown? I imagine Jan has to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, gotta be me.
Yeah.
Gotta be me.
Yeah, how many people are in your hometown? Yeah.
I am so popular in my hometown that among the 1,000 people from my village, I'm the most well known. And I was very honored today. That's why I'm home, because they named the stadium after me. So that was fantastic.
My
so,
God.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So, So I will invite you to the Jan Åge Fjørtoft Stadium. Oh, what a great feeling.
Hey, Jan, put those glasses back on again, will you?
Why?
Because I just want... Right. I want cheering up. Put them back on.
If I can cheer you up, I will put this one as well for you. If that can cheer you up.
Glasses.
Beautiful. So where are you? Are you Cumnock?
Yeah, well...
You've got to be the most famous person from Cumnock, haven't you?
Well, my uncle was from Cumnock.
Yeah, George. But you're more famous than George, aren't you, I'd say? Who's more famous, George or Craig Burley, Don?
Oh,
I don't know, George, so I'll have to say Craig.
Yeah. I don't know, George.
George, well, George Burley. Is that a manager?
Ipswich.
Yeah.
To be fair, it was tough when he was getting into... It's tough to get in the Scotland team when he was playing.
Right.
There has been a couple other footballers. Is there a rugby player as well? Yeah.
I'd say yeah. Are you agreeing? Who's the most hated celebrity in Cumnock? What about you, Don? Newcastle? Is that your hometown?
Gateshead. No, Gateshead. So, Gaza. Oof.
Gaza, you're done.
Yeah, me and Gaza. Yeah, me and Gaza.
No, you can't say me and Gaza, Don. You're not in that conversation.
We literally lived a stone's throw away from each other. We've played for the same boys' club. We're definitely
Gaza. You're not anywhere near his celebrity level.
No. It's like... In Jan's world, I might be like quite close to him, but not in my world.
What a strange world Jan lives in, then. Okay, final question.
You're the most famous person in your...
Yes, yeah.
Down in Cornwall.
Down in Cornwall, yes, definitely. Yeah, I'd say so, but the competition isn't that rife. Okay.
Do you walk in the pubs down there like that?
No.
I'm back.
No, I haven't been. I haven't lived there for such a long time. That's that. Right, let's get to the...
Why is ESPN FC not on the...
I don't know if they have streaming.
Why are they not?
I don't know if they have satellite.
Have we got TVs yet, don't they?
I don't know. Right, Don.
This was brilliant.
Now, during today, ESPN FC put out a tweet talking about best partnerships in the Premier League. And you then listed some that you felt were better, Don, which included a Manchester United partnership. What was the United partnership?
Van Nistelrooy and Rooney.
Now, you spelt Van Nistelrooy V-A-N-I-S-T-I-R-O-Y.
Well, you just did a hurry, and I put spelling in brackets because I knew some numpties out there. Well,
that's not how you spell his name. Don was too busy finding a parking space in Luton, so he couldn't do that.
I had a lot on my plate. Exactly, yeah.
Have we not got Don's tweet?
I don't think we have the tweet, no.
We don't have Don's tweet. So, I went through,
because someone was arguing. What were they arguing, Dan?
We know what it's about, Don, but it's more about your spelling of Van Nistelrooy. Right. So now you have a chance to redeem yourself. So okay. Abu asks, how do you spell Rude's last name?
So N-I-L... No, hang on. Nil. N-I-S... Nis... T-I-R-O-O-Y.
Incorrect. On so many different ways, Don.
Is it?
We had...
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, Jan. Go on, Jan. You have a pop.
Go on, Jan.
I would say, because I'm a foreigner's card, but N-I-S-T-E-L-R-O-Y.
Oh! Almost. So close.
What did he say there?
Sorry?
Nistelrooy.
Gone.
What did Jan say?
The E's wrong.
You should have been listening.
Well, because
the E's wrong.
Well, do I miss one letter there?
And yeah, you missed one letter out.
I need an H. I need an H.
All right, there's no H.
H. There's no H. Is he on about an H?
Oh, Don.
N-I-S.
Right, here we go.
N-I-S.
Yep.
T-E-L.
Yes.
R.
Yep.
Double O.
Is it a double O? Double O-Y.
Yep. Well done, Craig. Yeah. Congratulations.
Most famous person in the town.
That's
look at
why. Don's face.
I can't believe he never got his tweet off.
No, but
how many plannings are for this show?
But boys, the moment of the night was when Don turned to me and said, no, yeah, that's wrong. So he turned into a teacher.
Well, it was wrong.
No, but the best part about the tweet that we can't see is,
it was.
I'm not going to leave this alone, was when Don, because he put Nisto Roy spelled and he put brackets spelling.
Yeah, spelling in parentheses. He's got time. Why don't you just look it up on Google, Don?
Well, no, Dan, you don't. I can't stand the spelling policeman. Like, I'm going to go to Google and go, oh, let's just see how you spell someone's name correctly before I... You're just in a hurry. Just read like this, it for
you?
What it is.
You had too many things going on. You were like, how do you spell Van Nistelrooy? Car parking pass, looking
Exactly.
My bike's in the repair shop. That's getting repaired. I need a car park ticket.
Don,
I just spelled Van Nistelrooy.
B-Y-E, Don. B-Y-E.
Yeah, you go back to your mum and dad's bedroom there, you are.
There it is. Oh, it took a while.
Look, how did you spell it? Van Nistelrooy.
The best part of that tweet is someone was trying to argue Bruno Ronaldo were better than all of them. Bruno and Ronaldo better than Cole and Beardsley, Cole and York.
He's not saying that. He's saying that Spelling and Rooney were the two better ones. Spelling and Rooney. Yeah, not Van Nistelrooy.
Spelling.
Do you know the best spelling part of it,
Don? United player.
See what I should have done there? Is I should have spelt spelling wrong. That's what I should have done.
Was it not about current Premier League?
Yes, I think it was current.
So not only did he spell it wrong, he read.
You could have just put RVN, Don.
Too much in a hurry, Dan. I'm spinning plates.
Too much in a hurry to abbreviate things.
I'm trying to get a car park sorted at Luton tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah, the businessman alive.
Oh,
the
man. I love the Luton. The best part of the Luton, but can you do this for an ex-player, please? Fantastic.
And then somebody said, what do you ever do for us?
Yeah.
And then this guy said, well, he gave his... Is this true? You gave your last 2 weeks' wages back?
What happened was... I was owed a couple of weeks' wages and I asked the club what kids you're going to keep on for the summer, and they had two YTS boys that they couldn't afford to get contracts to, so I said, give the two young boys my wages. And one of them has played about 300 games.
Spell their names.
Yeah. Yes.
N-O.
What a beautiful moment, Don.
But I just found a tweet where they answered Don. And when Don asked, do you have a parking space for an ex-player? And they said, yes, Don Hutchison, do you know one?
he's hilarious in his mum and dad's bedroom, isn't he? full of the jokes.
Kenilworth Road tomorrow.
There we go, Kenilworth Road. We're at that, of course, live on ESPN Plus. Luton against Chelsea, Liverpool, Norwich. Me and Craig will be here in the warm studio whilst Don's hunting around for a car park.
Don, we've got the TV camera set up in the car park. You're not actually going into the game. Don't worry.